He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. What a week it's been. It's July the 14th. It's Friday. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we're here with another update in the market. What a week it's been. Like I say, the Dow's up 152. It continues to break out. It's at 34,547, despite Chris Wilson at Mike Wilson at Morgan Stanley. The S&P 500 is up 11 points, 4,520. We have a valuation problem. There's the biggest worry I see right now. How are we going to deal with that? More on that in the newsletter this week. The S&P is up 0.25% today. The NASDAQ, well above 14,000 now, 52 points to the upside. It's at 14,189. The small caps are not participating. It looks like they're down today, 0.6%. Crude oil not participating. Crude oil is down 39 cents to 76.50. Gold is flat at 1964. Silver up a little, 29 cents to 25.24. And the bond market, which has also had a very good week, of course, it doesn't get the headlines that the stock market gets. The bond market is, however, seeing a little profit-taking today. It's up 2 basis points to 3.78%. So welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm, and a provider of tools to the do-it-yourselfers out there in the form of a weekly newsletter, a live trading service, and the beststocksnowapp.com. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, now we turn to the earnings. And we're going to go through some of those earnings here this morning.
And after this week, you'll probably be glad that, or Mike Wilson probably be glad that you called him Chris Wilson, right?
Yeah. Get, it wasn't
get him,
me that
get him
said,
confused a bit.
I don't
right?
buy this market, you know.
Blame it on Chris.
Yeah. Well, you know, the market had it wrong, though. I can't single out him, really. The market had the CPI report and the PPI report wrong. And for that reason, I mean, they had gone raised rates by about 35 basis points leading up to that, expecting a hot report and then probably two more hikes by the Fed, two more 25-point hikes. And then when that report came in, they quickly took out one rate hike. You saw 25 basis points disappear from the 10-year real quick, and then maybe a question mark over the meeting after that as to whether or not he would be hiking rates at that point in time. So, anyways, we had some pretty stunning PPI and CPI reports that went counter to what the market had obviously been baking into the cake, and now we've got a new cake being baked. We had another good day yesterday in the market. You know, we've had a really good week in the market, obviously. You've got the Dow now breaking out. Yesterday we saw the large cap tech, which has kind of taken a back seat. Large cap tech was probably hurt the most by the rising rates. We had the 10-year go clear up to 4.05 prior to the CPI, the PPI. That trimmed that multiple in the middle, and then that multiple got fat Wednesday and Thursday. Was it Fat Tuesday? I don't know. Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, the multiple got fat again, maybe too fat, we'll be updating that target price in the newsletter. But you know, you had the Dow or the Nasdaq yesterday was up another 220 points, led by big tech. And you know, our two biggest winners were Google, and I think Nvidia were our two biggest winners. Now, I've got a question for you, Barry. What do ChatGPT, which is Microsoft's version of AI, and Google's Bard, their version of AI, what do they have in common?
Well, I mean, number one, they're probably going to have some kind of lawsuits, both chasing them down at some point. But the main thing is, my guess is they're both going to be powered by NVIDIA
there
chips.
There you go. Right. Okay, so if you want to diversify and invest in Bard and ChatGPT, and who knows? I mean, Meta is working on their own AI. I can't imagine it won't be powered by NVIDIA. And look at what ChatGPT did for NVIDIA. We haven't even heard what it's done for Bard yet, but I got to believe Bard is being powered by NVIDIA. And if not, you know, AMD would be the only other one out there capable of those kinds of speed rates of speed. So if you want to invest in AI, I see no better way to do it than NVIDIA, really, because that's the common denominator in all of this. Okay, we also had another good day. You know, yesterday was pretty much across the board. The leisure stocks had a good day, like Airbnb, Booking.com, Expedia, Uber. Those are kind of the leaders in the leisure sector right now. The semiconductors had a really good day yesterday. Allegro Microsystems, ASM Lithography, Lam Research, Marvell, NVIDIA, STM, all having a very good day yesterday. The bond market had another rally yesterday. I'll tell you what's off the hook. I have no interest in it, but it's off the hook, and that's the Bitcoin farmers, the Bitcoin miners. Coinbase, etc., had a good day. The oil producers had another good day, led by Conoco and a few others there, and also a few of the energy service stocks like Weatherford, which got a big deal out of Brazil. What you didn't want to be in and what you have not wanted to be in are the inverse funds. They continue to break down, just as I've been saying. When I send out that newsletter every week, I show a chart of the NASDAQ and my comments and a chart of the anti-NASDAQ, the inverse NASDAQ, and the same with the dog and the
PSQ,
Dow.
Right?
The same with S&P 500 and SH. The same with the emerging markets. I show the counter. The same with the bond market. And I've been saying these inverse funds are going to continue to break down, and they are breaking down. They look horrible. Now, at some point in time, we're overbought in the market. We'll look at the charts today. You'll want to read the technical analysis tomorrow and see what can be done about where we're at right now. The financials had a huge day yesterday, like Blackstone and KKR, Schwab, they all did very well yesterday. The software stocks had another huge day. Adobe, I said Salesforce is one of the best looking charts in the entire market, and it continued to break. HubSpot, Paycom, Paylicity, all of these very powerful stocks. I'll tell you who else is having a very good week, and that's Cathie Wood. When the market heats up big time, that's when she's in her sweet spot. The problem is she stays in that sweet spot
no matter what.
It gets very sour.
Right.
So her ARK FF, that's ARK Financial Innovation, had a good day yesterday. See, I give her credit when she has a good day. Bots had a good day yesterday. Chat, which is an ETF on AI. Think how much you learn just by listening to Best Stocks Now every day. And those were the winners in the market yesterday. Large cap did very well again yesterday. So today is Friday. You know, I'm just going to say the pattern on Fridays this year has been what I call the Friday fade. We'll see. You know, we've got a lot of momentum. Well, there's a lot of helium in the balloon right now, and whether any comes out today remains to be seen. But we'll be talking about a little bit. We better do a little technical analysis here when we come back. And then we'll talk about, Amazon. There's news on Amazon and some of the stocks it lifted yesterday. Is there legs left in the chip stocks? A lot to talk about today on this Friday. We'll be right back. Best Stocks Now show. Actually, if anything, the market's gained a little steam so far on this Friday, with the NASDAQ now up 85, the Dow up 160, capping off what has been quite a week in the market. We got a long ways to go before now and the close, and I'm just saying that the pattern has been this year a Friday fade. We'll see whether or not that's the pattern again today.
Chip names are on fire again.
Really?
NVIDIA up over 4% at the moment.
Wow.
AMD over almost 5.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. And, of course, we have a pretty good investment in the chip names. I know I saw a big upgrade. Let's see. We'll get to that here in a minute.
ASML up 2.7.
Wow. Yeah. What's NVIDIA doing right now?
It's up 4.
4% again?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's our biggest holding.
It
continues
right
to get bigger and bigger. Well, anyways, okay, let's take a look here. We had Google jumping after launching. That was the big winner. I mean, yesterday the biggest winner, I thought, in the market was Google. It was up 5%. And look at it, steam higher today. It's up another 1.3%. All of a sudden, the doubts over Google's challenger to ChatGPT, which is Bard, seem to be being put to bed here. And they released Bard in Europe yesterday and in Brazil. Okay, a couple big areas, land masses there. I don't know if it's released. I guess it is here in the U.S. Amazon also had a huge day yesterday. They had the biggest day ever in their sales, and Amazon is following through again today. I called Amazon the stock of the day along with Google yesterday. We own both of those stocks.
And CRM was another one you pointed out.
Yep, CRM, and Amazon is following through again today. It's up 1.1%, but Amazon also carried with it Chewy, Etsy. You know who else had a big day yesterday? Shopify. They had a huge day yesterday. It's settling back a little bit here today.
Trade Desk was another old
yeah,
one that
I know.
That you
got
uncovered.
Back into that.
Yeah, that one was. They actually got added to the. I think they got added to the NASDAQ 100.
Wow.
And so, and I think. Forget which one was dropped out. I want to say it was one of the electric car makers. I want to say it might have been Lucid, but
hopefully,
yeah.
I would rather see Trade Desk in there any day of the
right.
week.
I was surprised that Lucid was already whatever the name that they took out. I was surprised it was already in there.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Citigroup sees 99 billion reasons to stay long. I hope they don't list them all because we'll be here until 2047.
They can be kicking us 99. Off the air.
Yep. Investment firm said it sees 99 billion reasons to stay long. Semiconductor equipment stocks. Okay, they've even narrowed it down more. After attending the SemiCon West conference, citing an expected recovery in chip equipment spending in 2024. Well, you know, we know who the chip makers are. They're specifically calling out Entegris, ENTG, which we have owned in the past. It's not my favorite, but that's the one they're calling out. Now, when it comes to the chip-making equipment companies, you know, we usually focus on Lam Research, which had a big day yesterday, ASM Lithography, which makes the really high-tech chip equipment that only they make for these high-speed chips, and a few others. But anyways, they still like that. Foxconn moles a team up with Taiwan Semiconductor to make chips in India. So, you know, there's a definite trend here. Taiwan Semiconductor is diversifying away from Taiwan, just in case. And, you know, I read that they're, if you're living in Arizona and you're seeing all of these people from Taiwan suddenly showing up, they're there to help finish the plant building there in Phoenix, because now they're getting down to the real high end of the project.
They already got the walls in. They already got the walls in. Right now,
yeah,
it's time
the plumbing, the cement. But when it comes to installing this chip making equipment,
the dust-free air, you know.
Oh, my gosh. They're bringing in skilled workers from Taiwan. And the unions are crying there in Arizona because the skilled workers from Taiwan aren't union. But anyways, they're working, and they're hopefully will have that done by 2024. And they'll have another fab. Taiwan Semiconductor makes, what, 80% of the chips in the world? They make them. The other ones design them. NVIDIA designs, AMD designs, Qualcomm designs, but those companies are fabless. They don't fabricate. They depend on Taiwan Semiconductor. PIMCO says the bond market offers opportunity for investors. Well, it's always good. I mean, they're a few days late, maybe a week late. We said it last Friday. Now, PIMCO argued on Thursday morning that the outlook of the bond market highlights valuations that suggest the potential for equity-like returns, I don't know about that, with less risk. Well, it depends on how fat this multiple gets in the market. It's getting pretty fat, I have to be honest with you.
And it depends on if you're in the junk bond universe, maybe you have the chance for some type of equity returns, but that's...
Yeah, I don't see
returns.
You don't
want to count on that, right?
No, I don't see returns. You know, I see returns in the 5 to 6 range is what I see, maybe 7. Anyways, okay, Nikola up 62% yesterday.
Wow, haven't heard that name in a while.
No, it's because there's a ton of short interest. They disclosed a hydrogen truck sale, okay? They got an order. Biotech will purchase up to 50 Class B fuel cell EVs over the next 5 years. So that's 10 trucks a year, with 12 trucks being delivered in 2023. So we'll see whether hydrogen is can fuel these trucks. That was the original CEO's his kind of vision of all of this. And, of course, he named his company after Tesla first name, Nikolai Tesla. That was kind of a, you know, we're going to be the next Tesla. And then, of course, the original CEO, you know, he was
a
piece of
jail?
Work.
Did he make it to jail?
I don't know if he made it to jail
or
fine.
He kind of disappeared, and then you never heard much from him.
He had a mouth 10 times the size and an ego and BS, I guess, coming out of his mouth, and he got into a lot of trouble.
Were they the ones that rolled the
yeah.
Vehicle down a hill and said it runs on its own?
Yeah, look at it. It's being powered by hydrogen fuel cells, and it was just rolling
down
an incline, which there's a lot of those where these things are made. All right, when we come back, a lot of individual stocks in the news, and we got to get to these earnings. We got about 5 in the parade today. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have, a lot going on here in the market. Let me get back here to my notes. There we go, right there. Okay, speaking of individual stocks here, we've got Canopy Growth gets a non-compliance notice from the NASDAQ. Now, I remember when Canopy Growth was the blue chip. They called it the blue chip of the weed stocks, okay? How high do you think Canopy Growth actually got? And, you know, that was a big craze. I had retired people telling me that they were going to invest heavily in weed stocks, and what did I think of that? I said, I don't think it'll ever be profitable. I think it's a big scam myself. It got as high as $60 per share, Canopy Growth. Where's Canopy Growth today? 43 cents. That's the blue chip of the weed stocks, of the cannabis stocks.
Wow.
A non-compliance notice means, you know what, we're going to kick you off the NASDAQ. You're under $1 per share. So a lot of money has been lost in the weeds. I remember all the newsletters popping up at the time, all the ETFs popping up at the time, and this was going to be the new, the new revolution in the market and everything. It didn't turn out very well.
In the just in the summer of 2019, it hit $67.
There you go. Now it's 43 cents. Yeah. Seadrill. Should we buy the bonds of Seadrill? Okay, so here's where you talk junk bonds, okay? Seadrill is a driller of oil company for oil companies, a subcontractor. They just are raising some money, 8 3/8% on secured second lien notes. I think I'd avoid that like I'd avoid Canopy Growth.
You lost me at the second lien.
Oh, my gosh, the second lien, okay? Yeah. Wow. Judge denies FTC's request to temporarily block Activision sale to Microsoft. So we'll see what happened. We talked about this drama yesterday.
You said Monday is the deadline, right?
Yeah, and this is supposed to close, so I don't see how they can stop this, really. Microsoft's $69 billion deal currently has a termination date of next Tuesday.
Okay, Tuesday.
When the parties can decide to walk away, extend, or renegotiate the 95. So, I don't know. I mean, whether or not they can stop this thing from happening or not. Microsoft getting an upgrade here from, who is this? UBS upgrades the tech giant, citing a better cloud environment and benefits from artificial intelligence. They raised their target price to $400. Well, that's pretty good. Okay, I think it'll get to $400 eventually. Microsoft's currently at $350. And they're rolling today. It's up 2% again today. It's closing in. It's not at $3 trillion yet. It's at $2.6 trillion right now.
So that'd be a 14% move. I mean, the rate we've been going, they can get that in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think it'll take a while, but right. It's headed in that direction right now. Okay, earnings. J.P. Morgan, probably the biggest one so far. They had a good report, but you know, there's just not a lot of growth in the bank stocks. J.P. Morgan reports a quarter that they beat earnings. They actually had a pretty good quarter. They beat by 61 cents. That's a very big wide margin that they came in better. And their revenue beat by $2.5 billion. But then I look at the, you know, how is the stock reacting? Kind of a thud, really. It's up 54 cents to, you know, that's a third of a percent.
It was up a bit. It was up a good bit more earlier in the beginning of the session and pre-market. But yeah, that's it's still a great report from them.
Yes.
You know, Wells Fargo is another one that that their net interest margin was just through the roof. In other words, they're making up money off of our deposits that
that's
are just sitting there.
That's what we've been saying, because the, you know, the 2 year is still at, it's about 80%. Points. Oh, so it's about 4.6 or 4.7 on a 2 year. So, yeah, they're making money on our deposit. They're not paying us that. They're keeping that extra there in there. Okay, now a non-bank stock, United Healthcare, which has had its problems over recent years. The stock has been in a pretty bad downtrend. The one of the Minneapolis-based companies, United Healthcare, UNH, actually Minnetonka, Minnesota, but it's having a really big rally here today. That's part of the Dow. The rally in the Dow is United Healthcare's up 6.6% after hitting a new 52-week low yesterday. So maybe there's some short covering there. United Healthcare beat by 16 cents, and their revenue beat by $2 billion. So now all of these count, right, in that total S&P 500 aggregate, which is what I watch very closely. And so far, everything that's reported, other than, I think, Fastenal maybe, has been accretive to S&P 500 earnings. Okay, you mentioned Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo reported, you know, there's a fade there, big time fade. Wells Fargo was up. And now it's down a quarter of a percent. Their EPS beat by 9 cents, and their revenues beat by $410 million on strong net interest income. So in other words, you go in and deposit money into your checking account or your savings account. They're going out, putting that money into kind of shorter-term instruments, which have been up in the 4.5% to 5% area. So they're making a ton of money just for holding your money. BlackRock, which is not a bank. Who's the head of BlackRock? He's a guy that's not real popular with the conservative side of the aisle. BlackRock, very heavily involved with the World Economic Forum and this and that. It's down 2.1%. Yeah, it's down 2.1%. Larry Fink, isn't it Larry Fink?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, good old BlackRock. They're down 2% today. Not a very good. They beat by 86 cents. They beat by $10 million on their revenue. But there's something in there that the street doesn't like, because the stock is down 2%. Maybe they don't like Larry Fink. I don't know. Citigroup, another big one. Smith Barney, they ended up with Smith Barney. This is another stinker, okay? I mean, it's a stinker before they reported earnings. This is one of the last stocks I would ever own, along with Wells Fargo. They missed on earnings, okay? How do the others beat, and how do they miss? Well, you know, it has been a lousy stock over the years. Lousy. Just lousy stock.
Yeah, and interesting enough, you know, Goldman's really been kind of talking down their earnings, right, over the last 2 weeks. So it'd be interesting when they report on, I think they report on Monday or early next week, and, you know, you can kind of compare what they've been doing to, you know, Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan, and, you know, they're kind of cleaning their clock at the moment.
Absolutely. Citigroup is down 2.3%. Okay, another one, State Street, which was under heavy pressure during the whole Silicon Valley bank debacle. And look at it today. It's down 9.5%. So this is not a very good day for the banks, the large banks. They beat by $2, and, or no, they beat by 9 cents. Their revenue just barely beat, but you know the
no one's interested when you got when you've got AI
details.
On the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
right?
I mean State Street's been a 2% grower, 2%, and the stock is down 9.5%. I'm surprised that the Dow is doing so well, which I'm going to check here real quickly to see if it's starting to fade. It is starting to fade, just as I predicted. The Friday fade is starting to. Kick in.
It takes a few hours to get down to the Hamptons from those traders, so they got to get you know they got to get out of town early. I guess
that's right. And these bank stocks are not impressing the street at all because they're all selling off. Okay, well we're hanging on to some gains here. I think it's going to fade myself. All of a sudden, oil's down $1.47. Small caps are down 1.1%. But you can't discount the week that we've had in the market. We'll be right back. Segment of today's Best Stocks Now. Just as I predicted, the market is doing the Friday fade. It's a dance. Have you can go to your local dance to learn the Friday fade. It happens almost
long,
every
did it?
It didn't last long, and it doesn't surprise me. Not that there's anything wrong with the market, okay? Not that there's any bad news out. You had some quite a bit of helium put into that balloon here over the last 3 days in a row. And on Friday, the traders kind of like to balance, go home with a neutral position in the market over the weekend. And you're seeing the good old Friday fade. You know what? I'll just tell you, sometimes I did do that this morning. And in my account, just where I'll add a few things here and there that I don't do because it's just higher risk. I buy a little SARC. I bought a little SARC this morning for my account, which is double... inverse our friend Kathy Woods, who had a great week. Well, she's the most vulnerable on the Friday fade, okay? So my SARC is starting to go up right now, which would be something I would close out more than likely at the end of the day. So anyways, I mean, that's one way you can handle the Friday fade. It's up in the morning by three times inverse the NASDAQ. You know, pick on the highest flyer in the entire market. Okay, all right. Now, if it weren't for United Healthcare, NVIDIA, AMD, Microsoft, and Amazon, we probably would not be up at all in the markets. Those are the only really kind of stock carrying the day here. Because as I look in the Dow, you've got Cisco down 2.5%. Cisco is a dog. You've got Exxon down 2.3%. For whatever reason, oil has all of a sudden gone south. It's down $1.47 or 2%. Chevron is down 2.2% right now. And on the upside, there's only two stocks really that are positive in the Dow, even though it's up 70 points. It's almost all United Healthcare and Microsoft. The other 28, United Healthcare is up 6.8%. That's carrying the Dow. The rest of the Dow does not look that good. Microsoft, last I looked, was up 1.9%. You know, usually another clue that the Friday fade, I didn't like the fact that the small caps are down today. They opened up down. I mean, that's the real risk-on indicator. So you just have to kind of use a little logic and say, I think the risk on stocks are going to see some profit taking today and maybe some move, a little bit of a locking in profits, etc. That seems to be what we're seeing here. The S&P is basically flat right now. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff here. State Street is down 9.5% in the S&P.
Yeah, that wasn't a great report for them. And like you said, the new... you know, as one stock's not going to make, you know, necessarily be the trend. But of course, that, you know, that's not a great, that doesn't bode well, at least if that holds true for all the other, you know, mid-major banks, right?
Well, I see some similar stocks also getting hit. Bank of New York down 7%. Northern Trust down 6.7%.
Wow.
So I guess you would call that the regional, super regionals, kind of one step below these money center banks. And then you've got Alcoa down 6%, and you've got probably one of the worst stocks in the entire market. I just love to talk trash on AT&T.
I knew you were going to, because they got
a
downgrade.
Send them a check every month.
Yeah, they had a downgrade. Today.
But here's what the guys at Seeking Alpha are going to tell me. Not all of them, but some of them. You know what they're going to say.
It's a great dividend, Bill.
Let's check this dividend out. It, never mind they're sending you your money back. Okay, it's basically a Ponzi scheme, isn't it? Let's see. The dividend is now 7.7%. How can you pass that up? That's what I'm going to see at Seeking Alpha, just from these dividend hounds. There's one writer in particular. He happens to be the biggest writer. God bless him. He's got his followers, and he writes articles every week, every day, pretty much every day, doesn't he, about some big, fat dividend stock. I don't like big fat dividend stocks. Him and I are at odds with each other. We're at opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum of Mike Wilson. I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum for the most part. You know, there's times when I like Kathy Wood, some of her stocks. You know, when it's a go-go market and helium is coming into the balloon, you want to own her stock. When helium starts coming out of the balloon, you don't want to be anywhere near that stuff. So anyways, AT&T is down 4.4% today, Barry. What does that do to your 7.7% dividend yield?
It eats over half of it in one day, right?
Yeah, now let's go back to January. Wait a minute. Let's go back to January the 1st. I know there's someone sitting out there with a big chunk of AT&T that's just hating me right now. AT&T is down $4 per share so far. It started the year at $18, so doing some quick math there, it's down about 16%. 16? You've lost your dividend. That's all you can say is, well, I haven't lost as much as I should have because I got a dividend.
Well, I guess the dividend yield's getting even fatter, right, whenever the stock price goes down.
Yes, and at some point I would think AT&T's going to cut their dividend in half because it's a company that's just going the wrong way in sales, in earnings, everything. Okay, and last but not least, the NASDAQ, NVIDIA's up 3.8, AMD's up 3.8, Microsoft 1.8, Amazon up 1.3. So big tech is carrying the day, at least for now. We'll see where it ends today. Well, I've already got a good start on the newsletter. If things go right, if the moon lines up with Saturn and Pluto and all that, I'll have the newsletter done later this afternoon and be sending it out. I always say that, but that's my goal.
So I can go
fishing tomorrow. I want to troll for some king mackerel and some sierras. Maybe get some bottom fish tomorrow, leave at daybreak, and just get out on that ocean and just clear my head after. We'll try. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. You know, here's what's getting critical. Here's my biggest worry. Valuations are my biggest worry in the market. How are we going to handle that? And if you'd like to talk to us, if you're in AT&T, in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. We'll have a look, see if we think we can help you. 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.